Hi, welcome to Stories of Faith and Hope from Colby Community Church. My name is Jake and I'm the pastor at Colby. This is a place where we want to share stories of people encountering the love and power of Jesus in their lives. We believe sharing stories is a great way to encourage one another as we grow in our faith in Jesus. We truly pray and hope you will be encouraged, or you might learn more about Jesus if you're curious as you listen to these stories. Thanks for tuning in.
Maureen lives east of Dartmouth with her husband, George. She loves to read, swim, walk, shop at Frenchie's, and make homemade bread. She also loves to sit on her deck at their camp near Windsor and listen to the loons. But most of all, she loves to visit her son's daughter, Brielle, in Seaforth, and her daughter, Kate, and her three children, Dylan, Jeremiah, and Annabelle, in Alberta. The title of Maureen's talk is A Road Less Traveled.
Roads. We travel them every day, taken for granted as we motor from one place to another. Wide superhighways, narrow, grass-filled country roads, dead ends, and of course, spring in Nova Scotia, roads full of potholes. Roads can be twisty, full of turns, and breathtaking scenery. Other roads we can't wait to get off and reach our destination. Recently, I started from home on a familiar road and ended up in an ambulance on a road less traveled, right to the hospital emergency. The unexpected happened with no warning. I blacked out. Not a good idea when behind the wheel of a car going 70 kilometers an hour. I came to with my car jammed against a guardrail on the opposite side of the road. I vaguely remember hearing the crunch of metal, seemingly off in the distance. The guardrail I was against overlooked water on my left, and on my right, I looked up to see a school bus. My foot was pressed tight against the gas pedal, with the engine revving. I turned off the engine and climbed to the passenger door, opening it for fresh air. Strangely, I had complete peace, peace that would only come from God. Maybe you heard that Jesus is the light of the world. This is so true. He shone his light into this blackness and turned it into a miracle. Miracles are bigger than the people involved. When God gives us a miracle, he wants us to tell others what he did. When we share our miracles with others, it points them to the best miracle that ever was, the miracle that gives us eternal life through the death and resurrection of Jesus. Every life is a journey. The winding roads of my journey are no exception. I will now travel back a few years and then come back to tell you about the miracle that took place on that road that was less traveled. I was a middle child born to a tall dad and a tiny mom. My sister Joan was 7 when I was born, and my brother Jerry arrived when I was 5, appearing one morning in a clothes basket. When Jerry became older and was being teased about being adopted, Mom comforted him by saying, "It's okay, Jerry. We chose you. We had to take Joan and Maureen." My mom had many foster babies to look after, and they were a special part of my childhood. I have fond memories of swimming, skating, biking, and family camping trips with babies coming along. I loved Sunday school and vacation Bible school, especially the Bible stories, although at the time I had no concept of who Jesus was and why he came to earth. Jerry's arrival brought some changes to my life big time. The next big change came when I was 12, and we moved to the Annapolis Valley, leaving my childhood home and friends behind. We stayed 3 years and then moved back to a different area of the Halifax region. Both of these moves were hard to adjust to. The importance of church attendance faded from my life at this time. During my 20s, I probably only attended church 1 to 7 times, attending weddings, one being my own, to the love of my life, George. I had left God out of my life, but he had not forgotten me. God still had a plan for my life. He chose me. The interest I had for the church and for God in my childhood was initiated by God. Just like my parents received great pleasure from choosing and adopting my brother Jerry, God was soon going to complete the process of adopting me into his family. The birth of our son Ian was the beginning of that process. As soon as Ian was old enough, I started back to church, wanting Ian to learn all the Bible stories I had learned as a child. I quit my job, becoming a stay-at-home mother, and had another baby 3 years later, our daughter Kate, the mother now of our 3 brilliant grandchildren. When she was 3, I had the chance to attend a Bible study. There I learned all about Jesus and why he came to earth. I was amazed to learn that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, Jesus, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. About the same time, I started attending a meeting for ladies called Christian Women's Club. The special speaker at this meeting told us that all people have done wrong, which the Bible calls sin. No one meets God's standard. These concepts of God I was being told, especially the concept that Jesus came to earth to save sinners, I had a real problem with. I did not consider myself a sinner. I was a good person, having not murdered anyone, and I only stole small things, and I only told little lies. This God, Jesus, I learned about as a child, let everyone into heaven. The message I was hearing now was complete foolishness to me. Here I was persisting in my sins, which separated me from God. Yet I was so touched by this message that I cried each time I left the Bible study and Christian Women's and said I would never go back, but back I went. Another speaker spoke of our need to allow Jesus to be our personal Savior and told us he was the only way to heaven. She said that Christ died for our sins on that brutal cross over 2,000 years ago, that he was buried, that he was raised from the dead on the third day and appeared to many people. Another point she raised was that Jesus came to remove guilt. My ears pricked up when I heard that because I was feeling very guilty over something I had done. If Jesus would take away the terrible burden I was carrying, then I definitely wanted to give him a chance. At the close of her talk, she asked us to pray with her, to ask Jesus to set us free from that burden. I prayed that prayer with her and prayed it again at home to make sure it took. God did answer that prayer. I was finally set free from my shame. We can read in the Bible, those who the Son sets free, Jesus, he sets us free. We are free indeed. This freedom was wonderful. The next years flew by, and it seemed all of a sudden we were celebrating our 25th anniversary. The loss of my brother to a motorcycle accident and my parents' death 3 years later was behind me. I had weathered that terrible grief and survived. Life was good. Ian and Katie were in their teens, and I had a wonderful husband who loved me. I loved being a wife, a stay-at-home mom, and a homemaker. But in the 26th year of our marriage, I discovered our marriage was in serious trouble. Before this happened, I'd received a birthday card that a Bible verse which told me to prepare for what was about to happen. It read, "The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them." As we began our 26th year of marriage, a detour sign appeared. Yikes, there was a muddy road ahead. Life as I knew it screeched to a halt when I discovered our marriage was in serious trouble. But in this time of extreme turmoil, I did have this real sense that God would restore our marriage. This became harder and harder to believe, especially when George left our home with a little contact for a year and a half. During this time, I learned 3 things. 1, tears are the price we pay for loving. 2, brooding over wrong keeps the wounds open. And 3, only forgiveness heals. I had to trust God that what he said about restoration would indeed happen. So I spent much time reading God's word, the Bible, and crying out to him in prayer. In this way, I found the strength and wisdom and peace to be the mom our teenage children needed. I needed this strength to get through each day. Since George's return, with the years passing by, we've experienced a joy being grandparents. That road trip is full of laughter, awe, and exhaustion as we take pride in the wonderful uniqueness of our four brilliant grandchildren. One November, with a phone call from my doctor, our road ahead became suddenly fog-shrouded as I received the news I had breast cancer. The initial fear became peace as my friends and family prayed. At that time, I received a promise from God that I would receive the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I became determined that even though I had cancer, cancer would not have me. This was not easy, as four roads loomed ahead. The first road led to surgery, the second to chemo, the third radiation, and the fourth to recovery, with me now reduced, renewed, and rejuvenated. In our car, sitting on the dash, was my frog, reminding me then and now to fully rely on God. This was necessary as surgery hurts, chemo makes you miserable, and radiation ends up like your worst sunburn. A Bible verse I treasure at that time says, "A righteous man or woman will have no fear in bad news. His or her heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord, he or she will have no fear." Having cancer showed me again how faithful my God is and truly is my ever-present help in time of trouble. Since then, I've experienced God's goodness each day in countless ways. So, as I bring my life road journey back to me waking up in a wrecked car against a guardrail, I can only aptly describe what I experienced that morning and the coming weeks as God's goodness supersized. What happened, which I will relate now, was truly beyond what I had planned for that day. My plan was to pick up my sister at 9:05, but God engineered the following circumstances, which, as you see, prevented a head-on collision that saved my life and or serious injuries, which I consider a miracle. I sideswiped a van, which slowed the momentum of the car, preventing me from going over the guardrail. Just before the guardrail was a power pole, and beside that a clear patch to the rocks and water below. The school bus driver told me later in the week she never comes that way, but because when driving her usual route, the car beside her sped up when she did and slowed down when she did, it so unnerved her she took the alternate route. Coming down the hill, she saw me and was able to stop in time. She did tell me someone was looking after me. She felt that a car coming down the hill would not have seen me in time to avoid a head-on collision. After the conversation with the bus driver, I remembered unusual behavior on my driving that morning. When I left my home that morning and turned onto our road, I noticed I was only going 50 kilometers an hour in a 60 kilometer hour zone. The unusual part was I had no inclination to return to 60. These seconds counted in order for me to arrive at the accident scene and have the bus be the vehicle coming toward me down that hill. God's supersized goodness continued that day, as even though the emergency was super busy, I was admitted to the cardio unit by 5 p.m. that evening. After three sleeps and having my heart monitored, the whole time I was in the hospital, no reason was found for this blackout. Motor vehicle removed my driver's license for 6 months, and now I am the happy driver of a newer vehicle. Life is uncertain. The unexpected can happen. I had no idea when I left the house that morning that I wouldn't be home that night. That day, indeed the next 3 days, did not happen the way I had planned them. I had peace after I woke up that morning because of the decision I made all those years ago to trust Jesus as my Savior and for my very life. The road I'm traveling is ultimately a highway to heaven. As I consider it consider this radiant destination. The roughness or smoothness of any road ahead of me seems less significant. To have this peace for your life journey and to be on the road that is the highway to heaven, like all journeys, there is a beginning. This journey begins with a short prayer, much like the one I prayed so many years ago at Christian Women's Club, which I will pray right now. Please bow your heads and repeat quietly after me in your mind, or speak it out loud if you're able to. Let's pray. Dear God, please forgive me of my sins. I believe you sent your Son Jesus to die on the cross so I can be forgiven. I turn from my sinful ways and commit my life to you. I know you will be by my side to help me. Thank you for your Holy Spirit to guide me. Thank you for providing a way for me to know you personally and to be with you forever in heaven. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you've earnestly prayed this prayer, then you now are a child of God. Jesus Christ now lives on the inside of you. He forgave your sins and has given you the Holy Spirit to guide you. And now you have eternal life. You can read in the Bible, anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. The new life has begun. Congratulations, and may God bless you. Amen.